a little thing, some of the stuff that goes on during the seasonality portion of it. We always start by talking about seasonalities are not the end-all to the market, but they're a good place to start a roadmap for what you want to do and where you want to be going on this stuff. Seasonality will work about 7 out of 10 years, 8 out of 10 years, somewhere in that area. So what you need to do is you need to know the seasonals, then you need to put what's going on during the current year that could affect any of the seasonal trends that we would normally see. Because every year there could be something that comes up that can alter the seasonals. Last year we saw them all over the place. There was nothing seasonal about the market since May of last year, and really after that, after July. And this year is probably going to be worse, to be honest with you. Now, there's so many things going on that we're going to have a hard time figuring out where we are all the time, much less where the market's going to be next. We're in a very volatile market right now. We're in a very high-risk market right now. And that makes managing risk more important, but also more difficult. Seasonalities. If you think about it, if you think about really what goes on, what makes the cattle business work, what makes it turn, what makes you pull cattle and pull them in the feed yard or pull them off the cow a little bit earlier, a little bit later? Any ideas? How about grass? If you think about it, grass makes this industry tick. If we have grass, we leave cattle out on grass, usually about as long as we can. If we don't have grass, we have to move them. 80% of the cows out there are calving in the spring. That means we're pulling in 80% of our crops sometime during the fall. The other 20%, they'll calve in the fall and we'll do something else different in the spring. So it's a very seasonal market because of how our industry operates, and it starts setting up our basic market and placement trends as you go through year in and year out. And that's what sets the stage for the seasonals. We're going to start with the fed cattle market and then work to the other segments. Fed cattle market, as you can see, January, February, March, it reaches a peak year in and year out. Why does that happen? Well, it happens because we don't have a lot of cattle to come out against the market that during that part of the time. We have some of the yearlings that we place during October, but we string those out through a large period. We'll place a lot of calves in the fall, but those calves won't come out till really, you see a bunch of them during May, June, and July. So that leaves you a little opportunity there during the first 30, 60, 90 days of the year for a little bit better market. When you don't have a lot of cattle coming out, it also makes demand look a little bit better. Demand starts to improve. Demand really starts to improve there in April into May. The weather is warming everywhere. People are pulling out their grills. They're starting to do barbecue. They're wanting to buy a steak, put it out on the grill. Tri-tip if you're out west, whatever you're going to do. And that makes demand pretty good during a time where there's not very many cattle out there. So that makes for a better market. Market starts to go down year in and year out to June, July, and August. That's when all the calves are coming out that we placed during the fall, that 80% of the calf crop. A lot of those went straight on feed or coming out during that time of year. We also have a lot of yearlings that's been on feed. They're coming out all the way through there. We have a weak cattle that were placed in March. They start to come out during the latter half of that period. You just got cattle coming at you every week. The other thing that you have going on during that time is demand slows. Demand slows because you got a lot of production on the market, but also slows because it's summertime. You always think that summer should be a pretty good demand time. And it is for certain cuts. You can do a lot of hamburger and that sort of thing. Chuck roast, pot roast. You know, if you're out and it's 100 degrees, you're in an area where you got humidity, you're not going to do a lot of cooking in the oven during that time of year. People are on vacation. Kids are out of school. They're on vacation. They're driving to the country. They're going to stop at McDonald's, Burger King, something like that, grab something. There's less set down meals where you're going to have a big meal and do something like that. So demand, at the same time you have a lot of production, has slowed a little bit. Now you get into about the time football season starts, or when the kids are back in school, and all of a sudden you're into fewer cattle. You don't place a lot of cattle really from May to August. Placements go down a little bit. The weather cools off. Kids are back in school. You're more likely to start doing a longer cooked meal, a roast or something like that. So demand starts coming back towards you. demand takes another kick there in October and November as the meat buyers get in and start procuring product for the end of the year. New Year's roast, rib roast, prime rib, tenderloins for office parties, that sort of thing. It's a very, very good demand time for both middles and ends, and that makes the meat market come back a little bit towards the end of the year. And again, you haven't placed all that many cattle during the summer, and you marketed all that you had before, supplies go down, and therefore the market comes back a little bit. If we've seen one thing shift on this seasonal fed steer price over the years, is that about 7 out of the last 10 years or so, we've actually seen a higher yearly high in the fall of the year than we've seen in the spring. Saw it last year, didn't we? Very well could see it this year. There's that chance. And again, that's led off that demand probably for choice product that we're seeing during that time of year. So if you take the short term, the last 10 years versus the last 20 years, the seasonal starts to change a little bit, and the last quarter ends up challenging and not exceeding the first quarter in prices. Okay, so what does that tell you? If you're managing risk, well, what can affect that? Profitability, probably. If you're making a lot of money, you're going to keep marking cattle very aggressively. We'll look at that in just a minute. Weather. If you don't have a lot of grass, you can alter your placement strategies. You have to pull them off the cow or off the grass early and place them earlier. You're going to move up the whole market. You're going to move it up a little bit or back a little bit depending how those cattle are coming into the yard. Corn prices. Corn prices, and we'll take some time and look at that also. That has a huge impact on you. If you have $3, $4, $5 bushel corn, number one, you're going to leave them on grass as long as you can, even if it's a little thin out there. And number two, you're going to pull them off of corn and kill them quicker because you can't stand the cost of gains. If you have cheap cost of gains, of course, you're going to feed them a little bit longer if the market looks good to you and try to cheapen the cattle up. So if you're going to manage risk, where do you do it? Are you more likely, or should you be more likely, knowing what you know coming in year and out, year in and year out, hedging them in January and February and March, or should you hedge everything you own in June, July, and August? Seasons will tell you you're more aggressive hedging cattle early in the year and then at the end of the year again if you need to do some more. You know, you don't want to say hedge them today, or you'd be more likely to hedge them today than hedge your August cattle in July. And that's what ends up going on. That's what tends to get us in trouble. We keep saying, well, the market's going to come back. The board's going to come back. I'll just wait for a little bit. Pretty soon you're down there to the bottom of the market. Then you panic. Say, I've got to get some risk management on these cattle. You hedge the cattle. About 2 weeks later, the market starts back up for the fall. So be aware of the time of the year that you're putting on your marketing strategies as you're doing this. As you look over time, it has about a $13 move over the last 20 years from high to low every year. And of course, that didn't work last year. It may not work this year because it's more volatile. But history tells us there's average year is a $13 move between the high and the low of the year. There's kind of what I talked about last year. It was a very, very unusual year. But not as unusual as you think till about July. Went up here, had a little peak in the market. This is the index. 100 would be the average price for the year. And that's the price on the right-hand side. Also want to tell you that the red line is not, that's index. The blue line is the actual price. So don't think our average for 1984, 19, or 2003 was 92 or something. That right scale indicates this market of last year. Went up here and set our high early in the year. Thought we were doing awfully darn good at $82. Sound familiar? It's kind of where we are right now. Market bopped along, started to go down, kind of had a little bit of comeback. There's May 20th. That's when Canada cow was found. Market went down a little bit. Everyone covered up. Thought this is going to be ugly. Lo and behold, we started killing more cattle. We killed a lot of cattle. Market went down seasonally, just like it's supposed to do. June and July went down and got down into close to $73, $74. kind of forget about that from all we've been through here during the last 6 months. Worried that the market was going to go down and just lay there for another 30 days, and then that thing went up and never looked back. And we'll demonstrate to you in a minute why it did it. But we were overkilling cattle. Exports went up because we were feeding the rest of the world with exports. We were the only supplier of choice beef in the world for about 6 months in there. And it helped our market. We pulled cattle forward. We were making a lot of money. Market went up to $1.10 there in, what was it, October. And you can see what happened then. The market was already on the way down, by the way. December 23rd was right there. Next to the last pick, $92, about the 22nd of December. The market went on down. Very, very challenging to risk that, to risk manage that last year, wasn't it? What you had a discount market, you had a discount board. A lot of it was everyone was afraid that Canada was going to reopen sometime, and that kept the market not believing where we were at. Discount boards make it very, very hard to hedge, and we're in that same position today. But last year, the year that we look back for a lot of years, I think, and say, remember 03. Like one guy told me, he said, right up till December 22nd, I was hoping that 03 would never end. And then December 23rd, it couldn't get out of here fast enough. That's kind of the way it went. Okay, here are some of the factors you can watch when you're starting to try to figure out where the market's going to be and what's going to happen. That's the weekly average cattle slaughter. That's steers, heifers, cows, bulls, everything. And again, you can see that seasonality, what we talked about. See this February, March, April? You don't kill a lot of cattle during that time because they aren't ready. When you get into the calves is when your slaughter really goes up. And that starts in April, goes May, June, depending on your weather here during the winter. And we're getting a lot of winter up north this year, by the way, some of you I'm sure can attest to. So that might move these calves back just a little bit. We kill a lot of cattle from April straight through August and September. Like I said, they just keep coming to you every week, every week, every week. And again, slaughter tends to go down during the fourth quarter. And that's when the Fed cattle prices go back up. So what can you learn about this? If you're killing a lot of cattle on the front end of the market, that's bearish usually. Usually. But what does it do? It creates opportunity on the other side of the market. And here's what we had in April. Starting May 20th, see, we're killing a lot of cattle. And usually you do that, but we didn't have 4% or 5% more cattle on feed last year. But we killed like we did. We had demand for the product. Prices were going up every week after you got through about the 4th of July. We were making money. We couldn't wait to pull these cattle. We pulled them. We put the money in the bank. And what happened here in August, all of a sudden we started to run out of cattle. We pulled so aggressively, there were just fewer and fewer cattle to come. The slaughter went way down, and of course prices went way up. But we did that by slaughtering aggressively in the summer. This year, we have a little bit of the opposite. We've got about 4% more cattle on feed right now, but we're not killing as aggressive as we'd like to. And that tells us, number one, yes, we still don't have a lot of cattle out there, but number two, you're probably going to have a fairly steep increase sometime this spring as you start to have to pull these cattle into town. 4% cattle on feed means at some point you're going to have to kill 4% more cattle, basically. They all got to come to town sometime. So that makes us just a little bit more bearish than we'd typically be coming out of January. At the same time, we really don't see cattle catching up to even the 5-year average till we get into summer. But we're going to go a long ways from, say, a 615 average kill in January up to where we need to kill over 710,000 a week. So therefore, that would indicate to you probably there's some risk in the market. Now, you can also say, well, that's probably true. You're right. But has the board already looked at that? You know, some are board sitting there at, what, 70 cents or something. So it's already looked at this. It's already starting to anticipate it. And, again, that makes the risk management a little bit harder for it. One other thing you should know, September, October, that 5-year average, see the red line, you have a little bit of a bump in here, and it stays maybe a little bit bigger in September and October than you think it would. Any reason why? It's all the cows come to town after weaning. fed slaughter will keep going down, but the cows will make up just a little bit bigger. You can look at numbers till you're blue in the face on supplies, but really beef production is what counts. And you just basically, beef production is when you take your carcass waste times the head of cattle that you're killing every week, and that comes up with a weekly average for beef production. Beef production is important because that's what you have to move off the shelf every week, either to our customers or customers somewhere else in the world. So you have big beef production, you need good demand to clear off that production. Of course, beef demand has been super over the last 12 months and remains super for our domestic customers, and that's been helping the market out. Then again, you can see, same as slaughter. Slaughter goes down, production goes down. You have bigger production during the summer, and then production will tail off again during the fourth quarter. We put all three on there in the yellow line, and that's what we did there, May, June, and July. We got so much production out of the way. You know, 520 was the average. We were over 560, close to 570 there for a while for a million pounds of weekly production. And it helped us out. You can see where production dropped to when the market got so good during the fourth quarter. That paid a dividend later on. This year, of course, we're starting low. We think we're going to have a very, very steep increase and then level out into the summer. But if you see something like this starting to occur, where you're moving from a low number to a fairly high number, that's a signal to you that you should look more aggressively at doing some kind of risk management if you can. Now, you say that, just to screw you up a little bit, what could happen here in the next two to hopefully 6 months that would make this a little bit more livable? Export markets reopen. In that case, you can move some of that product off, and it would probably give, if nothing else, a psychological boost to the markets during that time whenever that happens. So that's another thing in there you need to think about when you're managing risk is what could happen in the news that could change some of this. On the other hand, you say, okay, that's fine. Well, they find another cow tomorrow. So you got to go through that balancing act all the time. Okay, let's move on to feeder cattle, the 750-pound steers. This is just over time. It's kind of interesting because we see some of it going on right now. Really, during the first half of the year, the best fed feeder cattle markets usually early January. And I think buyers and sellers both have been a little bit amazed where these feeder cattle have been trading for the last couple weeks. A lot of it's just seasonal. Everybody tries to buy these early January cattle, believing they can still hit this April-May fed cattle market that's still pretty good. So you're going to buy the last of the big ones and try to beat the market, basically. Some years it works, and some years it just don't work worth a darn. You get past that, you're placing against summer. What did we see on that summer fed cattle market during this period of time? Market's low, right? At the yearly lows. So all of a sudden, you're trying to adjust these feeder cattle prices back to that level just as quick as you can. You have a discount board usually going into August on the Fed side. Have it this year. You know, we're at 85 on the front and 70 in August, basically, so that's in place. You also have a lot of fear and uncertainty about what's going on with the corn crop through there. And you're going to kind of slow play these feeder cattle a little bit till you figure out what your corn price is going to be when you feed them this fall. The other thing that you have going on with your feeder cattle market is all of a sudden you get a little bump in supplies in March. You know where they come from? It's the early graze-out cattle coming off of wheat. Then your next bump comes right here. You know what those are? It's little graze-out wheat cattle. They're big, and there's usually a bunch of them. You know, this year and last year was a poster child for that. We ran a lot of cattle off a week from March through May. Now, this year there may be fewer of them because it's been dry down there, especially through the Texas Panhandle, but we'll still have a run of wheat cattle. It just probably won't be as big as a year ago. And, you know, that's something, I guess, while we're here we should talk about. Weather, again, has altered how we place cattle. We had big, big placements in December, didn't we? Really, November and December. Just like we did in 02. Why we did that, in our estimation, where we've seen a lot of those cattle being placed, or those cattle that were designated for wheat, It got dry. They couldn't do it. They pulled them back into yards, or they were out already, ran out of wheat, and placed the cattle in December because they ran out of pasture. That's going to make for big placements, but it's also going to string out the marketing through the summer because you aren't placing them in bulges. This year, or in January so far, coming into this week, January placements in the cattle fax data was running 76% of a year ago. A lot of those cattle that would normally come in January were probably already placed. We think placements are going to run below year-ago levels, really from February, March, April into May, just because we've already pulled some of those wheat cattle and will continue to pull the wheat cattle probably early, even though they've gotten a little bit of moisture down there lately. But that's typically why feeder cattle markets bottom here in May. You get past that time, you get into the 4th of July, and I always use the analogy Mike's heard 100 times, but when I was running around in South Dakota, lived in South Dakota for 10 years, it's true everywhere. You go into a sale barn the 4th of July and look for something, there's not much around, is there? There's no cattle, there's no people. It's hard to find a cook or a cup of coffee. You know, everyone's just gone doing something different. And you start to think about that, and your feedlot out there, and you got 20 head feed yard, and it's starting to empty out because you're marking cattle. There's nothing coming in. It starts working on you. Say, boy, you know, I gotta find some cattle. I gotta start feeding this thing. You know, place some of these cattle. Start coming out against the fourth quarter. You know, the market's going to get better. Kind of psychology drives that market higher, June and July. This graph doesn't show it real well, but usually about middle of August, right about where that peak is, you have a little bit deeper of a deep dip in September and October. Because we've been a little bit more profitable for the fall, it doesn't show it as well. But probably, usually we have about 30 days in there where the feeder cattle market goes down fairly hard. And that's just a function of a lot of cattle coming off of grass. It's hard to find trucks. You're seeing a lot of cattle coming at you. You know the calves are behind them. You just settle in and let the cattle come to you. You don't pay up usually like you do. You get past that little deal, and then again the market goes up and takes off again. It can allow you to set its yearly highs November and December because you're placing against a better spring market. You got a premium board. You know what your corn costs are, and the yearlings are starting to dry up. You want the big cattle going in the winter. So that's the seasonal again. When's the better time to hedge your feeder cattle? If you're buying them, either here about the 15th of by the 15th of January, which is a week ago, or you know if you're you know avoid hedging them here, and then again if you get right before the run if you want to hedge, that's usually a pretty good time, say the 1st of August, right in there, before they all start to come to town, and be able to lift those hedges if you need to during the course of the run when you're pulling the cattle off the grass. Now, it's the other way. If you need to buy cattle and you haven't, here's one heck of a good time to buy cattle on the board, especially for fall. If you can protect your corn cost and you know that the prices are at what is typically their seasonal lows and you don't think anything's going to change that seasonal pattern, buy those feeder cattle on the board, let them ride up, and when the cattle come this fall, lift those hedges by the cattle, and you can, a lot of years, you have the cattle bought cheaper than you would normally. That's kind of how the board works for that, and it drives off the seasonals again. But know where your corn prices are when you get into this business. Because corn prices are going to drive that more than anything. Here's last year again. Went ahead and got the lows out of the way. February, March happened just a little bit earlier than the typical deal. It's interesting, even after May 20th, why didn't the market back off when we heard the Canada news? We thought about it for a minute. It scared everybody for about a day. And then the light came on and said, hey, the border's just shut. No more feeder cattle coming down from Canada. Bullish. The fed cattle market didn't bobble much. Away we went. Tried to replace those Canadian cattle. Never looked back. But followed the seasonal fairly well. Just on the bigger You can see where that early top was here. Again, the first 2 weeks of January went down and came back. Calves. Calves start out and lo and behold, typically get higher. You know what we call this peak of the year between March and April? Those of you who have ever heard it, the cattle fact's term for that is green grass fever. Grass is starting to green up this year, maybe not. We're starting to wonder about that through a lot of our country. But typically, grass is starting to green up a little bit. You know you need something light, 5, 5.5 weight to turn out. You know, good luck finding one during that time of year. So that drives prices way, way up. As soon as everybody gets turned out, they don't want them anymore, and they know they're too darn high, and they come back down. Prices will level out for a time during the summer, kind of a decent little rate, just because there's not a lot going on, not a lot moving to town. Really, if you're moving a 5.5 weight in 4th of July, you're probably out of grass somewhere. Other than that, most people are going to leave them on the cow during that time frame. So light supplies and decent demand tend to level out calf prices during the summer. What happens, though, when 80% of that crop is being weaned? You set your yearly lows, usually about the last week of October. You know, there's a lot of calves coming to town. Again, it's hard to find trucks. You're putting calves into a bunch of dust in the feed yards get tired of it. You're just kind of in a log jam all the way through there for about 30, 60 days with numbers, and that tends to make the prices lower. You get past that, and prices rebound quickly and fairly rapidly going into Thanksgiving. Okay, again, and it's hard to manage risk on calves. You know, you about just have to figure out your basis and do it on the feeder cattle board or do something on corn because there's not a lot else you can do. Mike had it when you manage your risk best when you manage your business properly, probably. But if you're selling cattle, if you can wait and try to hit this market in here, your calves are going to bring more. You know, my dad does it every year, and a lot of us in Colorado, for instance, don't have a lot of choice. He sells his calves every year in the 2nd of October, my son's birthday. It's just been kind of the time we wean and sell. You sell in this period, you're probably going to be close to the yearly lows. A lot of us just can't help it. That's the way it works. What can you do, though, to beat that? There's some opportunities for you out there still, isn't there? You don't have to sell them the day you wean them. You know, there's videos, there's contracts. You know, those of you out west, there's a Western video that sells about here every year. It's the hottest video of the year. That's why. There's nothing out there. You can forward contract the cattle, and nothing. My dad takes them to a sale barn every year. There's nothing against that. I worked through sale barns for 10 years of my life, so I'm not here saying don't take them to a sale barn. But there are other ways. You can go ahead and contract these cattle, just cash contract them at a price. Say, I want 5.5 weights. I want $1.05. I'm going to deliver it to you in November and see if there's not somebody that will take you up on it. So there's other ways of managing your risk for the fall calf crop when you're at the most risk. And those are probably something that you need to consider going into that time of the year. You know, wean early. We see more and more of that right now. People are trying to pull those off the cows 60 days early and take them to town or take them, straighten them, back around them, and keep them around till right before Christmas and sell them then. So a lot of different things you can do to manage your calves. But that's the seasonal price pattern that they typically follow. Yes, sir.
On that lowest price on those side right there, how much barrier on that price due to the fact that those calves are going to finish?
Yeah. The question was, how much of this is due to these calves, especially towards tail end? You know, a lot of those calves will be finished during early summer, if not midsummer. That's a lot of it. Of course, calf prices will vary a little bit depending on the weight because, you know, there's a lot of bigger calves right now versus smaller calves. But, yeah, if you're placing a true 5.5 weight, and you're going to put them right on feed the first November, you know, that's, what is that, 6 months? December, January, March, April, May into June. You know that you're going to be buying against a discount June board on the Fed side, and the market is probably on the defensive as you go through that time. So there's something to that too. You do. You got all kinds of factors working against you. Now you can beat that a little bit if you're weaning, say, a 7-weight steer or 6.5-weight steer. And that's why you see a lot of people too will take these calves and split them up, do something different with the light calf and put the heavy calves on feed right away, just for that reason. Take those calves, you know, you get up north, there's a lot of calves weighing, you know, close to 7 at weaning anymore. Take that heavy end off, put those on feed and use the lighter weights to grass or do something different, background for a while. Try to string those out a little bit more, cheapen them up more, basically. So you're right, there's an awful lot of stuff going on there for about 60 days, both going into it and then coming out the other side. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. Nope. Those are strictly cash prices. They'd be video cattle, but they'd be for immediate delivery. They wouldn't be contracted out. That wouldn't be. That's a good idea, though. Sometime we should just, we're starting to get, you know, some database built on that and just find the difference and attract the profitability of those cattle through, too. It would be. Yeah, let's work on that. See if that works. Yeah, you're right. It's a good idea. It'd be a fun little project to do, too. Okay, this is just 04 laid out, and again, very seasonal trade. You went ahead and you peaked it there in February, March. The bottom still came there in the fall, just not as much as a peak as normal, then came back a little bit. Something else we see people doing as far as risk managing this a little bit, and it's very well, we think there's something to it. We've just taken this over time and laid steer calves over fed cattle prices, basically. What this is as a percentage. So this is saying that for 04, we ended up calves brought 30% more price-wise than fed cattle did. If that was 100, it would be calves average the same as fed steers. It's happened. It's happened once. You know what happened here, why it did that? Actually cheaper? Corn. Corn got to $5 a bushel. That'll make you pucker when you buy these calves in a hurry. You also know what kind of profitability we have in these cattle? Way big. Worked like a champ. My advice, if you ever see calves bringing less than fed cattle for a period, they're by the calves. You know, this year, right now, I figured that last week we're at 127. Kind of right where we were. This has driven a lot off of corn prices. We're going to talk about corn in a minute to show you how important that is. And we've had fairly cheap corn historically through the last few years. But still, if you find that you're paying up there, especially over 130% for calves, if you're buying them, you probably have to be pretty cautious and pretty careful on risk management, because that says you're going to have a hard time making those calves work. If you have an opportunity to sell calves, say at 140%, 150% of the fed cattle prices, it's probably something you need to look at. And that will change seasonally. That will change monthly. You know, if your fed cattle prices are high and in the spring, you're calves are high in the spring, then that percentage would be a little bit lower. But if you see these percentages getting way above where you typically would see them, or above 120, 125, you're selling them, take a hard look at getting them gone. If you're buying them, be a little bit careful. History says you get to the top end of that. You know, for years and years, we never saw them over 130. Then 01, 02, we bought them way over that, and of course, the cows lost a lot of money to this last year. The big cattle, same trend. There's the cattle that we lost their rear ends off in 02. Look where we bought them there in 0 and 01. That thing was a wreck to happen. You know, if you're buying feeder cattle at 20, 25% over a fed steer price, you got so far to cheapen them up, it's very, very difficult to do that. Again, that's a signal as a seller to sell them, and as a buyer, that says you better be a little bit careful. If you see this thing running down here below 100, again, that's something, or even under 110, history will say that's more of a time to look at maybe retaining ownership or holding on to the cattle for just a little bit longer. Because history says that's a percentage that you can live with if you know where your corn is. As of Friday, we're at 107, by the way. Now, what's influencing this? Why are we only at 107 right now? Well, you know, what's one of the big reasons? Probably an April board that's at 70 cents. You know, we're already buying well over the board. People don't want to take that additional risk and pay more for them. But it also says history will say there might be a little bit of room in there for somebody. Probably going back to the thing depends on when the border opens. Yes, sir. The question is, why does it tell us in that last 10 years we've been so much above where we were in the 80s? I think cheaper corn is one of them. We've had, through a lot of those years, we had a premium fed cattle board, which gives the industry a lot of hope that the markets aren't going to be maybe a little bit better than we typically should think about it. And, you know, something else, too, I think, and I can't substantiate this, so I'm probably off base, but you know, we can feed cattle so much cheaper now and so much more efficiently than we did in the 80s, too. I think that's given that a little bit of boost. You know, we're seeing cattle now, these yearlings coming in, making 4 pounds a day. You know, your corn cost is good, running cost gain, turning low 50s, that sort of thing. That's something, man, I can't remember back in these years ever talking about. So I think that's given that a little bit of a boost also. It's interesting why you bring that up, though. See where we got that thing down to in 02 after we took our... got our rear ends kicked in the feeding industry. Those things got cheap historically. Look what the profitability was that Mike just showed you on those cattle. But when you got down there with that cheap of corn down to that 107, 108, that was kind of a signal that maybe you should look at not selling the cattle unless you have to. So it's kind of interesting how that works. We talked about corn. I'm going to spend about 5 minutes after this just on the corn market. This is something that we look at all the time, the cattle facts, and you have it in your handout. Basically, that's corn prices a bushel. And this is the fed cattle price. You need to look at cash or on the board. But this is that summer board sitting there at on this one. I think you have a bigger one than we do. That summer board's 72 at the best end right now. Corn's bringing a lot of areas, 260 to 280. That says that to buy feeder cattle and to break them even right now, a guy should be laying them into his yard at 77 to 79 cents. Not quite there, are we? So, if you're looking at selling or retaining ownership into summer, what should you do if you can get 90 cents for those big cattle according to this chart? Darn right. So take this in your market. It kind of tells you then where your market. You get into next spring. Let's say we're going, well, end of the year, we have an $84 board already. Corn up here, 95, 96. You know, that starts giving you a roadmap also where feeder cattle prices could go to this fall at some point also. So it's a lot of things you can do. But also, remember, let's just take this 76. If you've had 240 corn like we've had for a lot of years, kind of top end, you could pay 86.5 for these big cattle. If you can get to 320, you can only pay 80 cents for that same steer, and we'll show you why in a minute. But, so this is kind of an interesting little piece here to earmark and tell you all or something, because it can show you a roadmap, and if you're considering hedging, risk managing, keeping cattle, you know, first take a look at where they ought to be bringing, what they ought to be bringing, and then go from there. Calves, same way. What do you think? Anyone thinks here next spring we could see fed cattle bring 84 again? Any chance? Anyone think maybe we could? Nobody does? There you go. Of course we will. Right, Mike? We think we will. Maybe by the end of the year. Corn is bringing 260. It says these calves this fall very well could be back in minimum 110 or so. And they can make them work if the board's there. Board's not there, it's a leap of faith again. Do you want to take that leap of faith, or you don't want someone else to take it for you? Someone else. That's how you can use some of this stuff and start deciding, you know, buying or selling cattle, what to do with it. Any question on the seasonality portions of that? Okay. We're just going to spend a couple minutes managing risk in grains because that's what it's all about, really. You can buy the cattle and you buy the grains. Short term, there's an inverse relationship between feed grain prices and feeder cattle and calf prices. In other words, high corn prices means cheaper feeder cattle and calf prices, right? Cheap corn, higher, better feeder and calf prices. And this, I don't know. Bill did this. I don't know if I exactly agree with him. Inverse relationship between feed grade prices and profitability at all levels of the cattle business. Definitely in the feeder and calves. No question about it. There is a school of thought out there. You probably all heard it. High grain prices make high cattle prices, high fed cattle prices. Because we tend to do our business a little bit better. We don't overfinish them. We keep our carcass weights down. We keep our production weights down. And it tends to sometimes, in kind of a perverse kind of a way, increase profitability once in a while on the fed cattle side. But definitely for feeder cattle and calves, high corn prices, low prices. That's why you should always, if you're feeder cattle or stock or even feedlot, you got to always manage your risk in grains. A little bit longer term, a direct relationship, do the prices, do the reduced feedlot placements. What that means, of course, is if you know going into fall you're going to have $5 corn, you're going to keep them out on grass as long as you can. You know, your cost of getting a feed yard could be 70 cents, on grass is 35 cents. It behooves people to cheapen up on grass because you can work them backwards, bring them in for 100 days, kick them out of the yard. Instead of what we'll do with $2 corn, let's move them off of grass as quick as we can. Feed them as long as we can because you get cheaper cost gains in the feedlot and you can cheapen up the cattle. We got into some of that last year. Longer term, it really can influence your cyclical patterns and prices, production, inventory. Because heifer retention, cow slaughter rates, you know, if you have high grain prices that remain lower calf prices, you're less likely to expand. If you're getting more money off your cattle because of cheap grain, you're more likely to expand the herd, basically. Makes a lot of sense. How do they impact on feeder cattle? You can just take the first one. Let's say you're buying some, you're going to the back end of the board, you think you're going to get 70 cents for them. You're going to take them to 1,300 pounds. That means that you're going to get $840 back for that fed steer when you sell it at that price and that weight. Corn is bushel is 250. You're going to need 60 bushel of grain. That means after you buy cattle, the next biggest cost is your grain cost. That means you're going to have to put 150 in that steer. So you take 150 off that purchase price, other non-feed cost, medicine, yardage, all that sort of thing comes off of that. You got $60 left over. On a 750-pound steer, if you're buying this steer, a 750-pound steer, you think you're going to sell it for $840. That means you can spend $600 a head, and that's $80 a hundredweight. Okay? Baseline. What's that? On the 1,300 times 70? What'd that come out to be? Doggone it. I did that math, too. I must have messed that up. Where did I mess up, Murph? I thought I multiplied that out, and it looked good to me. Okay. That's we can get by that, though. Well, we're saying everything is equal. I'm sorry? Yep, that's only $70 head. That's the fudge factor if you're feeding cattle. You need that most of the time. Well, everything's staying equal, though. If corn goes up to $3 a bushel, you still need 60 bushel. That was $150. Now you need $210. So that $60 a head it takes to feed the cattle comes right off of that price, basically. If you're feeding cattle, you have $60 a head less that you can spend on that steer. And that's why it's so important. Same way coming down, if corn goes down to $1.75, you're still going to buy that $60. That's only $105. You have $45 extra to pay for that steer. That means your steer prices will go up a little bit, obviously. Where are we? You see the five-year average. Again, corn has been cheap, guys. And then probably the farmers in here will tell you it's been too darn cheap. But, you know, $2 a bushel going down to $1.85. And then coming back up over the last 5 years, historically, is very, very low. Now, we're starting to move back. You can see into 2003 what we did. We went up there to 240, had a very, very volatile spring, or excuse me, summer and fall, because we were unsure about what was going on with the markets and plantings and world markets and everything that came back. We're already starting, this is about a week old, we went from 230 to about 245, starting to come back a little bit. So already corn over the last, between the five-year average and this year, has already moved up about 40 cents a bushel. We're going to see more volatility probably in the corn markets because we don't know where world stocks are. We're in a drought through a lot of the plains, and that makes for a nervous market. Nervous markets are volatile markets. There are a lot of things going on here that we could see a summer again, just like we saw last summer, but much more volatile. Typically, they're going to come to a bottom in here in July and August and start to go in because we know the size of the crop for sure then. So typically, you kind of even out, go lower in the summer, then come back. We think these prices are going to be extremely volatile all the way through this year. Here's the main reason. Ending stocks for U.S. corn is very, very tight. We produce about 10 billion bushels every year, and we're using about 10 billion bushels every year. World grain stocks are down about 9%. If we come into a year, and we did it in 2002, we only produced 9 billion bushels. If we produce 9 billion bushels this year, and we're using 10, we're going to come out of the year with zero carryover, which is worse than we did in 95, 96 when corn went to $5 a bushel. So we need another 10 billion bushel crop, which is near record crop, just to stay even. And that's what's making these grain markets crazy, with good reason. That's why you have to really look at these corn prices. We're telling people even right now, I'll break some corn, keep buying corn for summer. It's going to be volatile. It could go higher. We get dry anywhere. You've got to be very, very careful with that. Any questions about with managing the corn deal? If not, thanks. I'll turn it back over to Mike here for a minute.